Good afternoon to all our listeners on CJGR Radio, CJHTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Thanks to Canadian band Mr. Something Something from Toronto and the Afrobeat poet Ikwanga for our theme song, You Are Beautiful. My name is Jim Hutchings, and this week I'm joined by our co-hosts, Mona. Hi, Mona.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
And Sean Dunham. Sean doesn't have a mic here, so you can just shout
yell.
Out.
Hello. Yeah. You have to yell real loud.
Okay. Anyway, this week we'll be exploring Nepal Awakening and celebrating Nepali New Year in conjunction with Green Roots Sustainable Living, with the involvement of the Nepali Society of Southern Saskatchewan at an evening of environmental awareness, education, and celebration of Nepali New Year.
Good luck with that one.
I think I'll...
somebody has
I'll
to pronounce it.
Navarsha, I think it is.
Okay.
That's, thank you.
Yeah, 2068. And you were just listening to Bruno Hernani.
Hello.
And welcome, Bruno.
Hi.
And we also have Susanna Durange here, who's going to talk to us as well.
Hello, everybody.
And welcome back, everyone. Just before we get started, I have an announcement to make about our Amnesty International Steak Night coming up next Tuesday on the 19th of April at Bushwhackers. We have $25 will get you a 6-ounce sirloin, yummy, awesome, delicious, tender steak, a Caesar salad, hand-cut fries. Bushwhacker fries are incredible. Garlic toast and a 12-ounce Bushwhacker beer. And that's on Dudney Avenue at Bushwhackers. If you want tickets, we have a few left. You have to get your money into us or get your tickets from us by the 14th, which it's the 14th. It's next Thursday, I guess. Jim, what are you waving at me about?
Well, I just thought as long as we're doing announcements, mm-hmm. I should take this opportunity to talk about the CJTR Look and Listen Lottery. And you could win a complete audio-video makeover for your home with a grand prize. Susanna's bought a ticket, so she might win.
Yeah, it's mine.
The grand prize is a 58-inch Panasonic 3D plasma TV with a home theater receiver, 3D Blu-ray player, complete surround sound speaker package, theater seating for three, stands for the TV and speakers, and installation in your home. You don't have to do it yourself. Retail value of $10,040. Second prize is a 50-inch Panasonic plasma TV, retail $1,100. And third prize is Monster Beats by Dr. Dre, iPod dock boombox. And that's $550. That draw is going to happen on Friday, June 17th at 5 p.m. Tickets are just $20 each. They're only going to sell 1,000 tickets, so you got to get them now. And for our tickets and more information, you can go to our website at www.cjtr.ca. You can call the station during business hours at 525-7274, and you can email us at lookandlistenlottery@cjtr.ca. Prizes are furnished by Radio Center Consumer Electronics. Thank you very much. And this is your opportunity to support Regina Community Radio by getting your tickets now for the Look and Listen Lottery. We're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We're going to introduce our guest. Susanna Durange is our local... I was calling her an expert, and she said, I'm not an expert. Susanna's been on the show before and given us some incredible information about the mining industry and First Nation Indigenous land rights and abuses and that sort of thing. She's a member of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation. She's been an activist and an educator involved in First Nation and human rights for most of her life. You've worked in the field of addiction, education, community development, and you have been very successfully involved in many projects with Indigenous peoples in various communities in Canada and internationally, quite a bit in South America too, right? Mm-hmm. You are the founder of the Solidarity Committee for the Peruvian Amazon and one of the founding members of the newly formed Mother Earth Justice Advocates. Welcome back, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Pull your mic down a little bit closer or move your chair up.
There. Is that better?
Now everybody can hear you.
Okay, that's
our
good.
Second guest, I'm going to read all of this to you because I'm just blown away by this young man. He's from Peru, and his name is Bruno Hernani. He's the creator and founder of Green Roots Sustainable Living, Inc. It's an organization dedicated to developing leadership and community revitalization using local knowledge and green initiatives. Bruno is an industrial engineer, has a master's in environmental science, has experience in social, environmental, and economic assessment in urban and rural communities locally and internationally. Bruno's worked on development and management of sustainable development projects. Currently, he's working on developing a public awareness project to create an environmental common vision for the community of Prithvinagar, Nepal. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, it's good.
Not bad? Good. Now, that's not all. Bruno is also currently studying for his PhD in interdisciplinary studies at the University of Regina. And his research includes environmental engineering, sociology, social justice, and how those components reduce poverty through adaptive practices for climate change in rural communities in South America. There's more. He's also developing a research institute in Cusco, Peru. The research institute will generate and promote knowledge that contributes to the development of the local communities through the social, economic, and environmental adaptation. And last but far but beyond not least, Bruno was also one of the 7 youth showcased at the SCIC and annual awards. So if anyone out there has a job for this young man, sure. He's only 31 years old and he's done all this and he's obviously just starting his life. So welcome, Bruno.
Thank you.
We're very honored to have you here.
Thank you.
And Sean's with us still. Welcome back, Sean.
Thank you.
Just about finished his journalism degree, right?
Right on.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the event that you're working on for Nepal.
Sure. No, I would like to start talking about how everything started.
Okay.
Everything started last year, actually, when I was traveling in Kathmandu. And we were approached by one of these communities. We were talking about doing some sustainable initiatives, which include community awareness. And this community was facing different type of problems with environment and sustainability overall, like deforestation, migration from the youth, going to bigger cities, environmental problems like wastewater, drinking water. So we start talking a lot about between, you know, both sides, and that's when we started talking with Susana too. Susana is also working with Green Roots Sustainable Living, and we came up with some ideas and how we are going to approach the project, how we're going to get together everyone and have the same vision for the project. So so we decided to do a community awareness program when everyone had the same vision. So
you're talking about the actual community of Kathmandu?
Actual community.
No.
Where?
It's in Hapa. It's a community in the border with India, in eastern Nepal.
Hapa?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, then we developed this project along with them, with the community leaders, and which actually were youth, which was really good, which was really encouraging for us too.
So they have a number of community leaders who are very young then.
Yeah, well, they are taking initiative because
they see
all these problems and they want to, you know, move forward and get better. So,
what's the approximate population of the community of Hapa?
We'll say, around 1,000 maybe or
something. Okay, it's very small then.
Yeah, it's small. It's really complex though, even though it's a small population.
Tell us about that, the complexity of it.
Well, you know, even though it's a small community, you know, there are different type of social components, economic, environmental components, that everything is linked.
Okay.
You know, you change one thing and everything is impacted, you know, like deforestation, but also impacts, I don't know, economic development and, you know, degradation of land. So it's little things that change the whole thing. So.
Right. So now tell us about the deforestation. That seems to be probably one of the major... The beginnings of the problems, maybe?
Yeah, it has the big problem with deforestation.
What's the deforestation for? Who is taking the lumber out? What's it for? What's left behind?
From what Bruno knows more, he met with them, but we wrote a proposal for funding, and in that we had to get information from there. And what I gleaned from this was that there's a lot of migration into that community from India and other places. And as people are building their homes or trying to keep warm, they're using more and more and more of the forest.
Okay.
And that deforestation, well, you know what deforestation does and what it leads to.
Right. So it's a matter of survival is what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's about living and instead of surviving, I guess. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And sorry.
Go ahead.
No, then that's how we link then with this event. You make the link with the event that we're planning to do in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So
can you give us an idea of the actual problems? I mean, some people may understand what these problems are when deforestation occurs, but for those who are listening who don't understand what happens environmentally, can you fill us in on that?
Okay. When there's deforestation, okay, first of all, if that's what's going to build your home, mm-hmm. and if that's what's going to heat you and give you warmth, and if that probably for a lot of people that you need that wood to cook, mm-hmm. and you don't have it, what begins to happen? How do you have a home? How do you keep warm? How do you cook?
Right.
And then, I mean, when you get deforestation, it affects other plants as well that you might be using to eat, to live with, to even make products with. I mean, there's basket weaving, there's everything. So this increases poverty, it increases survival in the whole essence. It also decreases flora and fauna and even affects the water.
So why wouldn't there be any flora or fauna if there's no trees?
Everything's interconnected.
Okay.
Well, you're taking something from the environment, and you're not, putting it back somehow.
Okay. Probably what happens is you end up with a lot of erosion mm-hmm. when you lose your trees.
Yep.
So so you break the balance in the environment.
Right, exactly.
And that makes your water quality difficult.
And this is not a community that's living in luxury to begin with. At the event, we have a short video from the person that originally approached Bruno, and he has pictures of that whole community, and it's not a very rich community either. I mean, they're not living in nice big fancy houses and everything. So you're already on that poverty line, and now it's making it worse.
What's the economy of the village been? What has it been based on?
It's a farming
community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And what are the products that they generally have been planting and harvesting?
Pretty much mainly like vegetables.
Okay.
So
more self-sustenance?
Yeah, more
self-sustenance. They sell the vegetables in the markets?
It's problems also with economic problems that they cannot sell their products, and it's a really complex issue.
Right. So. But we have a whole hour, we can talk about all of that. Yes, anything you want to add to that to help the listener get a picture? We can paint a picture for
them. I think what's happening so often in developing countries is that farmers are encouraged by government to grow cash crops.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's more cash crops being grown, and they're not growing things for their own sustenance, for their own food. And if the crop fails or the market goes away for what they're selling, then they don't have any money, and they don't have any money, they can't buy any food. So it's really not a good model for these developing countries.
No, and they did mention that there's a lot more cash crops, and I can't remember which mm-hmm. one it was, but that was also affecting it.
Right.
And they just want to become very self-sustainable. They they want to come out of all this mess, and they want to look at, doing environmental friendly and sustainable resource development.
When you look at the way we live here, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because of a lot of the food that we eat comes from thousands of miles away. And if we didn't have the transportation facilities, and if we didn't have the money to buy it, we'd starve.
Oh, more than likely.
We would.
More than likely. And that's a big problem here, is thinking about what we're sitting here being affluent, mm-hmm. going to the grocery store, buying cash crops that are making other people die.
Yeah.
Bruno, you talked about people coming in from other countries to live in the community, and you mentioned India. Tell us about that. Why are people coming from India to live there?
Well, there are also poor communities in the border, mm-hmm. so maybe like probably smaller communities.
Okay.
So there is kind of a way to cross the border and go probably is a like a stop to go to a bigger
okay.
city. So
it's sort of a general migration due to poverty
yeah.
in the whole geographical area.
You know, as in each border, there's always people coming in, coming out. So
okay.
it's moving around, so...
All right. Are they welcomed by the local communities, or are they feeling
like
that they're coming in and they're sort of taking our land or taking our
No, that's what I felt, that they are losing. You know, they don't care too much about it, like because the youth are leaving, the elders try to you know keep the little thing they have, and maybe they don't are aware of this. These problems, like people coming in, coming out, and maybe doing also environmental.
Right.
Generating environmental.
What about the education levels? What's the average education level?
What do you mean?
The youth of Hapa. You talked about the youth leaving. Are they leaving for school, or are they leaving for other reasons because of lack of resources, or what's
going on? Well, they go to high school, elementary
mm-hmm.
school, but then. Once you finish your, they finish your high school. They don't know how to make more money.
Okay.
There's no resources well managed there, so they have to go to bigger cities. So that's a huge trend now.
Okay.
So the youth, like between 15, 20 are leaving to
okay.
Kathmandu or like bigger cities around.
It's like Northern Canada.
Mm.
Yeah, not much difference.
And also like the youth there did a lot. They were kind of the heart and soul, and they had this festival that generated some income for everybody, and they did projects that were helping the community. And now with the youth leaving, there's this big gap.
Okay.
Well, one interesting thing I found that was the what the people was approached was young people, like around between 20 and 30.
Okay.
So there's people from the same community that are aware of their problems, and they want to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of like a special group of people. They are really highly motivated to do something for their community. So that's how that we get connected really well
okay.
with them. So, and I was really impressed about the level of commitment they have with their own community.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm really impressed with that too, that it was the young people who were acting as leaders. Which tells me there must be some amazing elders in those communities that have trained up those young people.
Probably.
There probably is. We'll have to tell
yeah.
you more when we come back.
Like, oh, that would be great.
Bruno's been to Nepal. I've never been there. Yeah. And I'm just catching up from reading or talking to Bruno or what yeah. we're learning from the people that we're working with here now, too, from the Nepali community.
Okay.
When I come back, you can have Bruno and I on here.
We'll
we can
that.
Tell you exactly
yeah.
everything.
Yeah. And maybe get someone from the community here as
yeah.
well.
Yeah,
tell me about how you ended up going to Nepal. What was that all about? Is that because you met someone here?
Well, my sister lives in Kathmandu. My brother-in-law.
Okay.
So I just went visiting, and she does some community development. So I went
okay.
with her to the field.
Okay.
Because I just really enjoy it. I like it.
Yeah.
Talking to the people and community leaders and... That's how it happened, and some people ask me why you're doing your organization is working in Nepal, and it's because, as I say, you know, I was really encouraged for me to find these young people, like you know, leaders that want to do something.
Right.
So it's not a matter of the space, but it's a matter of find you know the right people in the right time.
Right.
To do something. So it's been moving so fast, and it's been really. Good success, I think, so far in terms of developing the project and
okay.
with experience. Susanna was actually, I think, she's the project leader in this. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sue's a good project leader. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so impressed with the fact that you went to visit your sister and you happened to meet a bunch of young people who are exactly like you in many ways. You know. With thoughts of creating an environment that's healthier and to make people happier in their own communities and to make a difference in the world. And somehow I think that it wasn't by chance.
Mm-mm.
I really don't think it was. I think it was meant to be.
There are no accidents.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think the older I get, the more I'm really feeling that way, that things happen as they're supposed to unfold. So what else would you like to tell us now about the project, or about how long had it been going on? Were they working on things, like what were they doing before you met up with them?
Yeah, they have some initiatives already. Mm-hmm. You know,
and what were they?
You know, education, health. They will get together with the kids and talk to them about environmental issues. So they have a lot of initiatives.
Okay.
But the problem is that it's not a, like, overall vision. Overall vision of the objective of the community.
Okay.
So we proposed to them was make a consensus of what is needed in the community, what the priorities are, mm-hmm. but they have to be coming from them.
Right, of course.
Right, so...
That's a mistake that people have made in the past quite often, is going into a community thinking that they have all the answers from their own culture, their own perspectives, their own worldviews, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. You have to include the people, or they have to actually include you in their plans mm-hmm. to work and to help them out. Yeah.
So we're planning to do this. Well, they will do it.
Mm-hmm.
This vision and program, and then they will try to re-engage probably this little initiative they have, and they maybe will come up with another ones.
Okay.
So start strengthening that relationship of. Within the community.
So this is an ongoing project. This isn't something that's just going to be started. Now we have all this education we need, we're going to stop. Now everybody's healthy, we're going to stop, and we can move forward and do something different. But it's an ongoing thing, right, Sue? We're okay.
You see, this is just the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
When Bruno came back and asked me if I'd be involved, I was really excited because Nepal's been one of my dreams, and that walked in the door.
Yeah.
But then we got the information from Nepal, and I thought, okay. Like, they first told us they wanted environmental education, but they said there's a lot of apathy.
Okay.
So I thought, yeah, because people are telling them what they need. And I believe in community consultation and getting people involved and getting them to have ownership and to come together with one voice and one vision to say, this is what we want, because then you get that excitement. So this is only the very, very, very beginning to find out what do they want, what do they want to become involved with,
mm-hmm.
then coming back and finding money for a way bigger project that the whole community has bought into, that they're already going to feel about who's going to do what, they're going to be excited, they're going to be involved, and then it becomes a big project to do whatever it is that they've decided. I can't even tell you what it's going to be. It might be the environmental education that they said. It might mm-hmm. be something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will last however long it lasts. And the end
goal, until the money runs out?
Yeah, until the money runs out. But if you get the community going in something that can be sustainable for them, then it still keeps going. It's just like the project that I did in Peru. The money ran out. But that ancestral school, parts of it are still going on because it just generated itself within the community. And that's what the hope is that when the money runs out, there's things still going on that's sustainable for them, and that it should be an ongoing, life-changing thing.
Exactly, yeah. What have we got left, Jim? 2 minutes? Okay. Finding money.
Hmm.
You said, you know, working on this, getting an idea of what they want, getting some vision, and then finding the money. How does this happen?
Well, we've got to find money to even get this project going there, because mm-hmm. it's easy to say, oh, we're just going to go there. But there's airfares. There's people to feed when you do community consultations. We can't expect those communities to feed themselves.
Okay.
There's people that we're going to need to give remuneration there. For translating, neither of us speak Nepali. It has to be in their own language. There's people that we need to do facilitation, and that helps their economy as well.
Of course.
So it's not just, oh, well, we're going to go there and fly in and be these wonderful people and try to be saviors, because I never want to be a savior.
Right.
I just want to be a facilitator.
Yes.
So so the first thing is, the event that we'll talk about after the break
mm-hmm.
that we're doing to get awareness and perhaps generate some money. And then we've got to figure out, we've written a proposal where we can send it. And it's pretty complex because most of the funders want a group that's had 3 years of work internationally and wants this and wants that. And how do you fit that criteria?
Oh, that's always a problem when you're applying for grants and mm-hmm. whatnot. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we will be speaking with Bruno Hernani and Susanna Durange here on Human Rights Radio.
Yeah, we're going to have a little Nepali music to come out of the break with. So stay tuned.
Do bhama bhetuncha, do bhama bhetuncha.
Welcome back. This is Human Rights Radio on CJTR. And today we are talking with Bruno Hernandi. I keep putting the H in and he's telling me don't put the H in. Bruno Hernandi and Susanna Duranger. And this is about an event that is occurring in Regina for a Nepali community of Prithvinagar. And we've been talking about sustainability. We've been talking about health and education and a community project that is being developed, and they're looking for funding as well to work with this community and the young people there for a better future. So I'm going to give it back to you, Susanna and Bruno, to talk about, to continue what we were talking about regarding finding funding for this project. Take it away.
Do you want to start? You want me to start? Okay. Our first step is going to happen next Friday. And we're having what we're calling Nepali Awakening and Nepali New Year Celebration. And this is to invite the Regina community in to learn about the project in Nepal, to learn more about Nepal, to understand each and everybody's connection to one another, and to bring us together to save Mother Earth, to help Mother Earth and all her children or people. And we connected with the Nepali community here, and that was kind of a fluke. Everything, like Bruno said, is just, it's meant to be.
Coming together with no problem, right?
Yeah, like yeah. Bruno heard through a friend, right, about somebody working at the Delta Hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and so we decided, well, let's just go over there to find him, and I'm thinking, like, okay. And we saw at the front desk, I saw a young man working, and to me he looked like he might be from India or maybe even Nepal. I wonder if that's him. And we approached him to find this person, and we found this most wonderful person that we're working with. And then I know Victor Das really well in Saskatoon, who was one of the other seven youth that was profiled by SCIC. And I said, do you happen to know anybody from Nepal? And he said, yes, he knew somebody in Saskatoon, and I emailed him, and it just so happened Bruno was in Saskatoon, and you went to lunch at his house, right?
Yeah, he invited me for
lunch.
Holy
cow. That's amazing.
No, actually, the interesting thing that this person, he said, are you from Peru? I said, yeah. I said, yeah, because I did my master research about between Peru and Nepal.
He did.
He did.
So it was
so little, yeah. When you say what a small city, I mean, you have to just expand that to what a small world.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
And then from him, he emailed us a list of people here that had just started a Nepali association.
All right.
So we emailed them and asked them to join in with us, and they said, well, we were going to have a New Year celebration anyway, so we're combining the two events. So this event's going to be amazing.
This is wonderful.
Also because the young man that we met from Nepal has really good connections there, and he couriered in for us traditional Nepali scarves that each person that comes to the event will be welcomed with. So your $30 ticket is getting you a meal. It's getting you a complimentary drink and a real Nepali scarf. It's not...
imported.
It's not imported. Well, it is, but I mean...
couriered.
It was couriered right from the people there, from this man's father.
Wow. That's
so
incredible.
And you're going to... The youth of the Nepali community are phenomenal. They decided to dance.
Okay.
And they're going to do a... I don't know what you call it, a showcasing of their traditional wear. They're going to show you clothes from different regions of Nepal. They will be the MCs. They wrote this phenomenal script themselves. I was just blown away yesterday. And these youth are like grade 10 and 11, and they're so excited. So this is going to be an evening to share culture, to celebrate a new year, and to come together and say, how can we join together to be, like you said, it's such a small world. Bruno goes for lunch, meets somebody from the Nepal community who's done a master's in Nepal and Peru.
In his home country.
Yeah, in his home country.
Half a world away.
Yeah, and they're both here in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and now we've connected with this Nepal community that's... We were worried about this event at first. We said we're going to do an educational, and I said, but what do I really know about Nepal? You know a little more than me. You were there. But how are we going to make this real? And then we find all these people.
That's wonderful.
So we really need people to buy tickets by the 12th because we have a caterer, and we need to know how many people we're going to feed. So, Bruno, tell them where they can pick up tickets.
Yeah, you can... Call me at my cell phone. It's 533-6680.
I'll just repeat that. 533-6680 if you're looking for tickets for this fundraiser. And we're going to repeat again why we're having this fundraiser and how important it is after you finish.
There's also a Facebook page called Nepal
Awakening.
Nepali Awakening and celebrating Nepal New Year. You can come on there on Facebook as well, and you can order your tickets from there. But it's very important that you order these by the 12th. And if you think $30 is a lot, remember those scarves would cost a fortune here, and you're getting one free.
That's awesome. I've just got my ticket here. I'm looking at it. Hold on here. Yeah, because Jim and I have tickets. Friday, April 15th. 6:30 to 9:30 at All Saints Anglican Church, 142 Massey Road. Oh, that's where we had Alex Neve, our Secretary General. That's a great venue, by the way. You'll really enjoy being there. The price is $30, and they have corporate tables, $170. What constitutes a corporation?
Okay, actually, if you can get six of you together that are friends, you can buy a corporate table and you can save $10.
Awesome.
So a corporation might mean a corporation that buys a corporate table, or it might be a group of six friends that buy a corporate table.
Awesome. Okay, so you can create your own little corporation.
Yeah.
A supper, a cultural show, a scarf couriered from Nepal, from the community that they're raising funds for. Maybe we'll just go back a little bit and for the next few minutes until we've got about 5 minutes till we end, talk about what is this fundraising for? Let's go back and talk about just for people who weren't here. It's the community of Prith Vinegar. And just sort of refresh us and tell us anything else that you haven't spoken about yet that you think is very important and relevant to this.
Well, the idea of the event is get some funds for the project, also to support the local community of Nepal here in Regina. So it's
okay.
So the money also goes to support the local community here in the city. So which is good. It's how we link the Nepal, Saskatchewan, and the Nepal community here.
Okay.
So it's a good way to do it. So and some of the funds go to the project that we were talking before. And one of the other reasons is to do this project is to let people know about this and what we are trying to do, and also we are trying to get the input for the public, because we think that doing this has to be with the involvement of everyone. So we would like to have people input about how we gonna move forward with this project as well.
Okay. So you're also looking for suggestions from
yes.
outside, as from people who have maybe done similar community development projects in the past, that they might be able to help you out with this, give you ideas?
Exactly. And part of how we could put this event together was through the help of SCIC
right.
with their community engagement.
Right.
And even the video that you will see, oh, yes, there's going to be a video okay. right from the community. And that's what he says at the end, I need your ideas. He doesn't even say, I need your money. He says, I need your ideas. That's how, they're not even thinking money. They're thinking yeah. just ideas. How do we get this going? Where do we go? And we're hoping that after this event that we could maybe even start a Nepal solidarity group.
Right.
That bringing like-minded people together and saying, hey, this is what we can do. This is how we can raise money to make sure this project happens. Here's some ideas to get it happening. And if other people want to come along to Nepal and they raise their money to get there and they have really concrete things to do, then
right.
go for it.
How much does it cost to get to Nepal from Regina?
It could, depending on the season,
yeah.
it could go from, I don't know, $2,200 to $5,000.
Wow.
Depending when you're traveling.
Okay. So. This is a smaller community of, you said about 1,000 people, did
yeah.
you say? Where is the nearest city that somebody might recognize who maybe knows a bit about Nepali geography?
I think it's called Bhaktapur or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but it's east.
It's more of a larger city.
Yeah, it's in the eastern Nepal. It's an airport, I think, in this city.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Is that where you landed when you went there to visit your sister?
No, I live in Kathmandu.
You were in Kathmandu. How far from Kathmandu is Prithvinagar?
I think it's an hour and a half fly or something.
Oh, so you fly...
Well, actually, I was in the community still. I just met the community leaders.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay.
And something to add.
Go ahead.
That we're going to have in the event a signing sheet. How do you call this?
Oh, yeah. We're gonna have... It's like a banner.
Oh.
From Green Roots Sustainable Living, where people can write messages to Nepal.
Okay.
And... things about the environment, and when we go there, we are going to give this banner to the community.
Okay.
So you by coming to this event and yeah. by signing this banner, you will part of you yeah. will go to Nepal as well.
That's wonderful. What about having people bring pictures of themselves or pictures of, I don't know, their garden or something that they could also, you know, put on the banner maybe or something? Maybe.
Why not?
Why not? I mean, I think this yeah. is about public engagement, how we connect with
right.
everyone.
I mean, so. We get to see pictures. Of them, we're getting to see a video. It would be kind of cool if we could send pictures of ourselves, you know. So, yeah, you could tape them on or something or glue them on to the banner.
Okay, so everybody that's listening that's going to race for their tickets, I like Mona's idea. We hadn't thought of it. Bring your pictures or pictures of your garden or your house or your farm or your pets or whatever you would like to share.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Is there a website or an email address that they could contact you at as well?
Yeah, the greenrootsworld.org.
Okay, and that's all one word?
Info,
yeah,
great. Yeah, it's an email.
Okay.
Info at
greenrootsworld.org.
That's
the email.
info@greenrootsworld.org. So you can send an email, right?
Yeah. And it's a website that's greenrootsworld.org.
Yes. Okay, yeah. greenrootsworld. I think this is wonderful. And what once again, what this is about is a community development project. In this town that has had difficulties with deforestation, is the water like totally polluted yet, or is there what's the problems with the water right now?
Yeah, the water is not treated.
It's untreated.
It's untreated. Yeah.
So okay.
So there is no actually like analysis of the water, like you know, like
yeah.
like in most
yeah.
of the rural communities, they don't really know the quality of the water.
Right. So your risk for diseases and parasites and stuff like that. Yeah. The youth are leaving. Because of lack of opportunity.
Lack of opportunities, so...
Yeah. It's really... You know what I find interesting is the youth are leaving, but yet you talked about how the youth are sort of being in the forefront of this project.
Yeah.
You've made such great connections with the youth, and they seem to have some power, some real power there, and they want to make a difference in their own community. And then, Susanna, when you talked about the New Year's Eve celebration that we want everybody to get tickets for, how excited and involved the young people, the Nepali youth are here in Regina, about being a part of this and creating an environment here that will give us a good time. So, I mean, I think it's just so impressive that the youth are so involved in this. I don't think it's something you see too often in community development projects. Usually you're looking towards, you know, the older people and the elders, and they know best. And so I'm so impressed with that.
Yeah, that does really encourage us and to work in this project and work with the Nepali community.
Right, right. How much time do we have left, Jim?
It would help if I had my mic up here. We've got about 7 minutes or so.
Okay. Before we say goodbye, I have a couple of things I wanted to talk about. I'm going to repeat once more that hopefully by the 14th of this month, you will have purchased your Amnesty International Steak Night ticket. Our steak night is on the 19th at Bushwhacker Brew Pub. It's $25, and you get a 6-ounce sirloin steak, Caesar salad, hand-cut fries, garlic toast, and a 12-ounce Bushwhacker beer. If you happen to be a vegetarian or you don't eat steak, I think there is an alternative. You can just tell the waiter or waitress that you are a vegetarian, and they'll find something else for you. There might be a chicken dish as well. And Bushwhackers, April 19th. Contact me at 586-1938, or you can email CJTR, right, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. Email CJTR and ask about Amnesty International Steak Night tickets.
That's Human Rights Radio at CJTR.ca.
Excellent. There's another thing I want to talk about before we go, and this is some good news. You may have known, if you're a regular listener, that we have a really great connection with the Regina Making Peace Vigil. And it is a group of individuals who get together and have been doing this every Thursday afternoon, rain or shine, blizzard or not, and handing out flyers about various human rights and justice issues. And they decided this week to pass out a flyer about good news. And there's, because everything they hand out, you know, that was sort of the concern about Human Rights Radio is, boy, this could be a real downer, right? We need to come up with something good once in a while. So that the Making Peace Vigil has got some good news here, and I wanted to let you know about some of the great things that have happened. Number one, they have listed the Regina Public Library. In 2003, the library board, with the support of City Council, announced the closure of 3 library branches. You'll probably all remember that. And in response, Regina citizens mobilized, forming the Friends of the Regina Public Library, and leading 5 months of protest and collecting more than 26,000 petition signatures. This group caused the closures to be rescinded. Today, all 9 branches of the Regina Public Library are flourishing. And in a remarkable turn of fate, the once doomed Prince of Wales is getting a brand new and much enlarged facility. That is great news, and that speaks to the strength of the people. Regina Transit. The Regina Citizens Public Transit Coalition just celebrated its 10th anniversary. And one of the Transit Coalition's main achievements was the $15 monthly bus pass for low-income Regina residents, which was introduced in 2003. Which made it a lot easier for many Regina residents to get to work and use services in the city. They're giving kudos to the city and the province over that one for listening. What else have we got here? There were 8,000 signatures requesting public transit services on public holidays and all day Sunday. As a result, the transit service on Sunday was extended by 4 hours, with buses now running from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So, kudos to the city and the province for that. What else have we got? Nuclear power. In November 2008, the government of Saskatchewan announced its intention to bring nuclear power to the province. Citizens once again mobilized, this time under the banner of Clean Green Saskatchewan, a grassroots organization whose main mandate is to educate the rest of us about problems with nuclear power. In 2009, 1,000 of the province's citizens turned out for public consultations on uranium development, with 84% expressing opposition to the development of nuclear power And the vast majority, 98%, also supported the development of alternative energy sources, such as wind and solar. As a result of this protest, in December 2009, the government ruled out the idea of nuclear power, at least for the meantime. Now the government is looking to introduce small nuclear reactors to Saskatchewan. There is also a move afoot to bring nuclear waste to Saskatchewan for burial or reprocessing, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago with Jim Harding. Anyway, we want to thank Clean Green Saskatchewan and the citizens of Saskatchewan. Thanks to the government of Saskatchewan for listening to its citizens. And another one is the Egyptian Revolution. What do you got? Are we got no time left? Oh, that's 3 minutes? Okay, I'm trying to read Jim's fingers. Thank you. January 2011, the people of Egypt began to take to the streets demanding the overthrow of the dictatorial regime of President Hosni Mubarak. Backed by Western governments, Mubarak had ruled Egypt for almost 30 years. After 18 days of peaceful pro-democracy demonstrations, the people of Egypt forced the resignation of their autocratic president. All power to the Egyptian people. They provided a model for all of us in our struggle against undemocratic forces. And I think, what do we got? 2 minutes left now?
Right.
Okay. In the last 2 minutes, I would like to thank Bruno and Susanna for being here and giving us this wonderful information about their community development project, the beginnings of it in Prithvinagar, Nepal, and about the exciting event coming up on, where's my tickets? Oh, I have to find them here. Hang on Friday, April 15th. That's exactly a week from today. And they have to have their order their tickets or get the money in by the 12th. 6:30 to 9:30 at All Saints Anglican Church, 142 Massey Road. Price is $30, which includes a complimentary drink and a complimentary scarf, a Nepali scarf that's been
couriered from Nepal.
Thank you. Okay, last words.
Would have been cheaper.
Last words. My last word is please, please come to this event and support it. You will not regret it. You'll have a good evening. You'll celebrate New Year, and you'll learn a lot, and it'll give the Nepali community here a chance to get to know you as well.
Yeah, and we look forward to see you there, and if you want to learn more about the project, just please talk to us and send us an email.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, you announced it, yeah.
Oh, yes, again. Now it's a Facebook page.
It's a Nepali awakening and celebrating New Year.
And Nepali awakening and celebrating New Year.
Nepali New Year.
Okay. Find them on Facebook, get some tickets, and we'll see you there.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we're all volunteers. At least Mona and I are volunteers.
How can you tell we're volunteers today?
With Amnesty International, our goal is to increase the awareness of and contribute to a discussion of human rights issues at home and around the world. And Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."